The National Suicide and Trauma Prevention Project was established 16 months ago, and in that time it's worked with 12,500 people around the country. They work only with people living below the poverty line, the marginalised, the homeless, people in public housing, or leaving prison or in prison. First Nations people are overrepresented within these populations. In spite of the important work the service does and the high-risk people they work with, the government has passed them over for funding. The Wire's Sarah Martin spoke with National Suicide Trauma Prevention Project Director Megan Cracker and National Coordinator Jerry Georgiatos.
This is a poverty narrative, and we see some of the most vulnerable people across the nation, and it's really heartbreaking to see the arc of issues that we're seeing firsthand through our own eyes. It's heartbreaking that there's no other service that provides that assertive outreach 24/7, because that's what's needed in our community. Some of the issues around child sexual abuse, people in prisons, children being removed, many of the people homeless or houseless, living in really dire circumstances. These are the families that we speak to. These are the families that we see. These are the families that we visit. Many of the families, basically, there's no help. There's no support. And they're doing it tough, suffering on their own. And that is something in terms of the unmet need that we try and address. And not to get some kind of sustainable funding is really, really heartbreaking. It's a total indictment of the West Australian government and indeed the federal government.
What is it that gets in the way of you getting that funding?
I think a lot of it comes down to the political will. I can't really say what the issues are in terms of why we're not getting funded, because we are doing the work. We're working 80 hours a week between Jerry and I, and we're obviously getting results. Bottom line is that we have not lost anyone whilst this service has been in operation.
How much has this cost you so far?
The personal investment has been, in my case, 16 months and 12 months with Megan, where we've worked pro bono. We've not earned a wage in that time. We've worked 80 hours a week, each of us. We've had to tap into a lot of volunteers to support the service. But it's cost me personally $200,000. I'm 58 years of age. I live with Parkinson's now. There are a lot of people that we've kept alive because we were there. Had we not been there, there'd be the loss of life. And every cent spent has been worth it. And if I had more, I'd give it.
I've got no financial security. At times, there's points where I can't meet my bills. So it's come at a huge sacrifice to me personally, for the love of our community, for the love of our people. As a black woman, as an Aboriginal woman, and someone that's seen it, lived it, walked it, and journeyed it with those are the most vulnerable and marginalised people in our community where they don't have a voice. I'm standing up, and I'm standing up and I'm saying to this government, I will hold you to account, because I will not see the pain and the suffering of my long-suffering people. I've seen what strategies are out there. I've seen what plans are out there. They don't meet the needs of our communities. And if they had, we would have been able to identify that, and it would be making a profound difference in our community. Right now, I'm seeing there's a big divide between the haves and the have-nots, and I can tell you it because I've seen it firsthand that many of our people are still suffering on the streets without the help, without the support, and without any real tangible hope. This government needs to be made to account, held to account about who is being left behind, and they are my First Nations brothers and sisters. Shame on them.
We're looking at the federal budget next week. If you were going to put a dollar value on what is needed to be invested to save First Nations lives and to support programs like yourself.
I'll tell you what we've got already before the Commonwealth and before the states. And we've asked for the littlest of investment. There's an $9 million for 2 years with the National Indigenous Australians Agency. That's the Commonwealth. With the state, for Western Australia, $6 million over 2 years. If they invest in either of these two, both will have the opportunity to refer people at long last to a service that doesn't exist other than ourselves at this time.
We're not competing with anyone because, like Jerry mentioned, there's nothing out there right now. There is a huge unmet need, and until that void is met, the incarceration rates will continue to rise. The number of children being removed will continue to rise. Domestic violence will continue to rise. Homelessness will continue to rise. In the state of Western Australia, we have 1,400 houses less in the last 3 years. And you see my brothers and sisters laying under the bridge in Perth, 80 homeless people, tents. That's an eyesore. That's absolutely disgusting. And it's shameful that we can let our people stay in this situation in this day and age. It's unprecedented, and there needs to be more help and more support towards them. We at the National Suicide Prevention Trauma Recovery Project, we do that, and we do fill that void, but it comes down to the political will.
Megan Cracker, Director of the National Suicide Trauma Prevention Project, and National Coordinator Jerry Georgatos speaking with The Wire's Sarah Martin. And if this story has caused issues for you or someone you know, call Lifeline on 13 1114.